Well, good morning. We are just going to pray. Gracious God, as we now just spend time looking at your word, we just ask that you will just quieten our hearts, that you allow us to hear you. And Lord, not only that we hear you, that we might respond to you in according to your promises and your faithfulness to us. So Lord, again, we just ask that this time might be yours. Encourage us to be the people you want us to be and to do the things you set before us. We just ask this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. So welcome. It is so good that we can all be together here in church once again. I hope that you had a good week and that in this week you've seen God's grace, his mercy, and that you've been carried and in doing so been encouraged. Because we are challenged in this day. And living by obedience and by faith can be hard. So our reading this morning is found in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through to chapter 6, verse 5. And if you have your Bibles, please feel free to open them. If not, it will be on the screen for you guys to read along with. So Joshua chapter 5. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went and asked, "Are you for us or our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as a commander of the Lord's army, I have now come." Joshua fell down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out. And no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with the king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all your armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear a sound, a long blast on the trumpet, have the whole army give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." I don't know about you, but Joshua to me, at the moment anyway, is a strange book. You seem to have this progression of a step forward, but suddenly taking 2 steps back. For those that are movie buffs and watchers, it's Back to the Future all over again. You know, only this time we're not changing it to make the future better. We're going back just so we can have a clear view of what's happening in our futures and why. So Moses has died, and I think that's been established over the last couple of weeks. Moses has died. Joshua has been commissioned to be this replacement leader, to continue on leading the chosen ones of God, the Israelites, to the land that was called the Promised Land, promised to them 625 years beforehand. So Joshua's call is to lead God's people into a land that would be their own. This promised land, a land that was going to be fruitful, a land where God would be known and God would be honored. A land that other nations would come to respect, all because God watched over them. Joshua was given some advice on how to accomplish and to manage such a huge task. He was told on several occasions to be strong and courageous, to be careful to follow the words and precepts that Moses had been given. Joshua was to keep the word of God at the forefront of his mind and thus his actions. He was to be single-minded and focused. He was to keep moving and paying attention so that the earthly passions and pursuits would change to the glory and grace and provision of God. In fact, God gave Joshua a promise. And he said, "I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave or forsake you." Joshua had been with Moses and aid for 40-odd years. And no doubt he would have seen and heard such a great deal of things. And through the accounts, we see that Joshua is a man of honesty. He's a man of faithfulness and commitment. He understands the needs of encouragement, but also that to be faithful. Faithful to God, but also faithful to lead his people into the promised land. So last week we saw them crossing the Jordan River. Crossing the river by following God's command. And the entire nation crossed over on dry land. Again, this account reveals that we are to be obedient even when we don't fully understand that, or have a whole sense for what God might be showing us. But sometimes God wants us and waits to see our obedience before we see the miracle take place. So once safely across, Joshua calls one of the men from each tribe to collect a stone from the middle of the river and bring it back to the promised land side of the Jordan. And here Joshua sets up a memorial. And in chapter 4, verse 6, we see why he sets up a memorial. He says, "It's to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people forever." And once again, we see God putting something in place so that following generations to follow know the goodness and provision of God. None of what was going to be ahead of them could be achieved by the strength of man. It was be and would be by the hand of God. So here in the plains of Gilgal, Joshua now looks ahead to the challenge that's in front of the Israelites as they continue forward into the land that was promised to them by God. The land that we've mentioned is a good land. We're seeing that God hasn't just handed it to them, because if they did, over time they would forget and claim the land they took by their own strength and not by the work of God. We're starting to see a pattern of how God works. By faithfulness and obedience to his instruction, you will have success. But it's by God's provision. So as Joshua surveys the task ahead, he sees the city of Jericho. The common suggestion is that Jericho had two sets of walls. First, it's like a retaining wall, and on top of that, a wall of stone, somewhere in the height between 3 and 5 meters high. Secondly, there's a courtyard in between, an open space, and then the second wall between 6 and 8 meters tall. In man's eyes, Jericho was a safe place. It had a great defensive wall. Security was for all inside. In man's wisdom and thought, you might even say Jericho was unbreachable. What confidence the people of Jericho had in the walls that surrounded them. So as Joshua looked forward to Jericho, he also catches sight of something else. His eyes catches sight of a man standing there with a drawn sword. It's interesting that Joshua isn't sure what side this man is on. But one thing was certain, it's an overwhelming situation. Joshua simply asks, "Are you for us or against us? Do I need to attack you?" And the reply comes, "No, but I'm a commander of the Lord's army." He doesn't answer Joshua's question. Because maybe the bigger question here isn't about the angel's position or allegiance. Maybe it's Joshua's. "Joshua, which side are you on?" And his response to that question reveals his position. He falls face down on the ground in reverence and simply asks, "What is the message that the Lord has for his servant?" This isn't obviously a normal occurrence, but Joshua has been focused and is attuned to God's word, albeit through the voice of this angel. But even in this account, we see God's provision. For back in Exodus 23, we find these words. "See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way, to bring you into the place that I've prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I'll be an enemy to your enemy, and I'll oppose those that oppose you." Again, we see this principle of God providing the way. Our part is to be faithful and complete the instructions that are given. So what were the instructions given to Joshua that day by the angel, the ones that he was asked to fulfill and to follow? We find this in chapter 6. Simply march your men around the city. Do that for 6 days. Have priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of them, in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear that a sound, a long blast on the trumpet, have the whole army give a shout, and the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go in, everyone straight in. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a great battle plan. There's no fighting involved. There's no loss of life at this point in time. You just have to look really fierce as you walk around this city day after day doing nothing else. Can you imagine the gathering as Joshua stands to confront his army and says, look, all right, these are the battle plans, guys. We're going to take the city in 7 days. We're going to say nothing for the first day. In fact, we're just going to do a bit of a walk around the outside to have a look. But don't talk to each other, just walk. In fact, we're going to do that 6 days. Don't talk to each other along the way, just walk around. And the 7th day is even better, we get to do it 7 times. You know, can you imagine the uncertainty of these battle-weary men just going, what? We can't beat a city by just walking around it. They could never get in by themselves. Here we see clearly God's provision. Do what he says and you'll have success. In our lives, Satan will try and cause division and place doubts among us. He helps us build up walls within ourselves to stop us coming to God in a state of obedience. And he loves to put obstacles in our way to keep us from victory. He loves to place barriers in our way that keeps us from moving forward. The enemy will use us, these walls that we place, to divide us. Doubts to limit us, fear to control us. Anything that widens this divide between God and his loved creation, which is you and I. However, there is no wall or stronghold that God can't or hasn't already broken down. In 1 Corinthians 10, we find these words. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such that is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted by beyond what you're able, but with every temptation will provide a way of escape so you can endure it. God has done all the work. You and I need to be humbling ourselves, coming to God, trusting that his words and that his promises are true. For us to be obedient, because each one of us this morning, unfortunately, aren't as good as what we think we are. However, God is, and God is righteous and holy. So what side are you on? What side have you chosen? Moses had to learn to trust God's word, even when things didn't seem to make much sense. Moses learned to trust God at his word and then leading, and he responded accordingly by faith. Joshua, this now affirmed leader, was encouraged to lead but cautioned to make sure that he followed all the instructions and guidance that were given to Moses and to the Israelite people so this nation would be blessed and the entire nation would know that God loved them. So this morning, what is your Jericho? What's that obstacle that's in front of you? What's that? Where do you have doubt and trouble accepting the goodness and grace of God in your life? Does anger or bitterness overwhelm you at times? Maybe you're selfish, self-reliant. You're quick to fix everybody else and everything else around you. What is it that you really do hold on to? What is it that you use and put up walls so that God's word, his presence, doesn't come too close to you or to become personal? This morning, do you want freedom? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want peace in the midst of trials and troubles that we do face daily? Then this morning, I encourage you, you need to come to God, but you need to humble yourself. Romans 5 tells us clearly that at the right time, he allowed and gave his only son to die in your place and in my place. Christ died so that the stronghold of sin could be broken could be dealt with once and for all. We follow that through to verse 10. It says, "For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." So how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now been reconciled. You know, Christ's death and his following resurrection is and should be our personal memorial stones. The place that you and I go back to, the place where we go back to look upon. The event of history that reminds us of God's provision, but also God's promise. The cross should be a place that reminds each one of us that all these strongholds, these walls, these cities that we put in front of ourselves have been dealt with. But you and I must change our gaze. We must humble ourselves and to truly define what side we are on. There is an old proverb that goes, "For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. The want of the shoe, the horse was lost. The want of the shoe, the rider was lost. The want of the rider, the battle was lost. The want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. All for the loss of a horseshoe nail." Such a small thing missing or misplaced can and does have serious repercussions. The loss of the nail caused the fall of so much. This morning, what's your nail? What's your nail? What is that thing that might cause you to lose the promise of eternity given to you by God? What is it this morning that might steal your attention and focus? What is it that takes your time and your obedience? Joshua was reminded back in chapter 1 to keep the book of the law always on his lips, always to meditate on it day and night so that he might be careful to do everything that's written in it so he'd be prosperous and successful. I said at the start of the message today that we have to look back so we can move forward with a new sense of purpose, direction, and understanding. We each have to come to this place where we see the cross as our memorial stone, the place that we look back upon daily. The cross is where we see ever so clearly, again and again, the love of God, the grace of God, the judgment of God for our sinfulness. All its horror and joy of the death and resurrection of Christ, God's one and only Son. So each week, we spend time in this service taking part in communion. It is something that we're asked to do. We're asked to remember God's promise, but also his faithfulness of that promise fulfilled in and through his one and only Son. So I'd invite you, if you have your elements with you this morning, please take them out. Take them out, and as we hold the elements in our hands, as we look back at the events of the cross, we're reminded of all that God has done, but also the promise of what he said he will also continue to do. And this morning we just need to remember to humble ourselves before him this morning. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For what I received, I passed on to each one of you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not fall asleep, but we will be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed for the perishable must be clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written comes true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor or your works in the Lord is never in vain. Joshua had to learn the way ahead was only by God's provision. It wasn't going to be by strength of man's hand. It was by faith and obedience in the sufficiency of God's promise. And just a spoiler alert for next week, when you and I take our eyes off God, when we stop doing the things that he's asked us to do, things don't go so well. And you'll see and hear more of that next week. So this morning, I invite you to take your bit of bread. I invite you to eat it. Remember what it signifies. As you eat it, I'm going to just read three simple verses. So please take your bread. He took the bread, he gave thanks for it and broke it, and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup and proclaims Lord's death until he comes. In Christ, we find life, new life, eternal life, hidden in Christ. His work, his obedience to his Father brings us into a new family. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you for your Son. We want to thank you that in him and through him, the work that you had put in place was completed. That through him we can have eternal life. We can have a life in relationship with you. This morning, Lord, as we take the bread, we are reminded that it is his body that was broken. It was his work. Father, you ask us to come to you obediently, faithfully, trusting that you are true, that your words to us through the Bible will make a difference in our lives. For you are a God that loves us and has a plan and purpose for each one of us this morning. Help us, Lord, to keep our gaze upon you and not onto the pleasures and passions of this world, where if we do so, we will not find success. We will not find eternal life. So thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do and show to us through your Son. I invite you to take your cup. Just hold on to it for a moment. In Hebrews it reads, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. In the same way he sprinkled the blood both of the tabernacle and everything used in the ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter the sanctuary made with human hands. That was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. Now he appears to God for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies every year with the blood that's not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ once and for all took away the sins of many, and he appeared not a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Let's drink the cup together. Again, Father, we see in your word that you have put things in place for us, again, to be cleansed and to be holy. It's by the shedding of blood. And in this case, it was Jesus, your Son, who obediently went to the cross and was raised 3 days later on our behalf. And because of that, Lord, we have the confidence to know that we are part of your family, we're accepted and we're forgiven. And we again thank you for your Son. So today, as you sit here this morning, as your mind starts to turn to the week that's ahead, each one of us here We'll have obstacles. Each one of us will have trials that we'll face. Some will be major, and some might seem insignificant. But nevertheless, there's something that you and I will have to deal with this week. Can I encourage you all to stay faithful? Stay true to what the Scripture says. Learn them. Hold on to them as a promise that God has given you. But humble yourself, be obedient, and be faithful. For in doing so, you might just see the hand of God perform a miracle just at the right time.